turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24, and I will add, and I failed to announce it, but of course, as we always do, we'll have the Lord's Supper Sunday night after on Easter that evening. We'll have the Lord's Supper, and that's a special time for us, so I hope that you'll plan to be here and be a part of that. And then one person that came to mind while I was praying was Melanie Ross. I know some of you guys keep tabs on Melanie, and we haven't seen her. And I saw her in the hospital quite a bit, but since she's been out of the hospital, she's not been back. And so checked on her, and she's just having, you know, ongoing problems. She took a fall, and then they've got some plumbing problems. They're having to stay in a hotel while they're plumbing gets ripped up and all of this, and so she's got a lot going, so please pray for Mel, and hopefully we'll get her back on her feet and get her back here with us in church soon. Okay, all right, Matthew chapter 24, let's begin in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, we spent a couple of Wednesdays on the first three verses there, just giving some introduction and a little background and preparing for this next two chapters, 24 and 25. So beginning with verse 4 begins, again, the sermon known as the Olivet Discourse. Simply has that name because he gave it on the Mount of Olives. And it begins in verse 4, and you can follow all the way through chapter 24, and the words are in red, and then all the way through chapter 25, and the words are in red. It's just one continuous sermon. Jesus really just one continuous answer to the questions that the disciples presented to Jesus. And so in answering those questions, Jesus gives an incredible amount of information about what to expect in the last days, or what to expect as his return approaches. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 says this, "The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." He's talking about birth pains there. As you know, that figure of birth pains was a commonly used type, if you will, by the ancient writers regarding end times. They used that quite frequently because it was a very fitting picture. When you think about birth pains or labor pains, they don't run the course of the pregnancy, right? They begin as you near the delivery of the baby, as you're approaching the end of the pregnancy and you near the time of delivery, then those birth pains become more frequent, and they also become more intense the closer you get to the delivery. Now, I'm not speaking from experience, ladies, but I have stood by the bed of a woman that went through this process, and many of you ladies have had a child. You know exactly what that's about, and any of you fellas that have been with your wife during that, you know it's a very very painful, very intense time. When those pains hit, they hit. And again, the closer you get to the delivery, the greater the intensity. They get closer together and more intense and more frequent, and then this is just progressively goes until the delivery is made and then it's over. Okay, and so that's very analogous of the way things will be here on earth as the end draws near. To put it in other terms, as the return of Christ approaches, okay, as the end approaches, the birthing pains, the travail will become more frequent and more intense as we go. So let's get right to the first labor pain. We see it in verse 4 there. He says, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am a Christ, and shall deceive many. And so one of the birth pains of the last days is going to be regarding deception. People coming on the scene, false teachers, false messiahs, false Christ. There have always been those throughout history. They've come about here and there throughout the history of the church. But in the last days especially in the tribulation period, then these things will become more and more numerous. Those false Christ or false prophets will be more influential. Their deceptibility, if you will increase, their ability to deceive you, those that they're targeting. And all of this is going to be accelerated because the rapture of the church out of this world is going to change this whole, the whole spiritual environment of the world. The restraining power of the Holy Spirit will be gone with the church when it's raptured out, okay? And all things bad will begin to intensify, and deception is going to be no exception to that rule. There will be more and more deceptions. The absence of truth, church gone. Not saying that the Bibles are gone, because the Bible will still be here, but those teaching the Bible, it will all be, the truth will be very limited. And you take that coupled with the desperation of people that are going through this turbulent, very unprecedented time on earth. They're going to be looking for answers. And now all of that coupled together is going to result in a great amount of vulnerability to the occupants of the earth. And it's going to create a perfect environment for false teachers and false Christ to come in and mislead, if you will, the masses. Think about it for a moment. Though all born-again Christians are going to be raptured out of this world and leave this earth before the tribulation, okay, we'll be with the Lord in heaven. This is a thought I had while I was putting this together. It's not original with me, I'm sure, but I felt like it was, okay? Think about this. Christians are taken out, but all churchgoers will not be taken out. There's a lot of lost people set in churches every Sunday across the land. There's a lot of lost people that don't know they're lost that would tell you, I believe the Bible, I believe in Jesus, and I believe he's the answer and all of this. Well, the church is raptured out. Guess who's still going to be here? Those people will still be here. And they're still going to be holding to their Christian belief system. They'll be among the masses of people going through the turbulent times upon earth. And these are people that were raised in church. These were people that have certain, at least some knowledge of the Bible. They're just not truly saved. And so the result of that is they're left in the tribulation. Here's the question. Where do you think they're going to look in their time of despair? They're going to look to Jesus, right? And so it would be ripe if they're, again, with their value system, they're going to look to Jesus. Obviously, it's going to be a very misguided search for Jesus, because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this cause shall God send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. And so there's going to be such delusion on earth at that time that it's going to be misguided. But they're going to be ripe for the false messiahs, the false prophet, the false teachers to sow their lies and gather them in as followers. And it's those unsaved, one-time churchgoers will be easy pickings, if you will, and will be easily duped. Now, granted, this text is speaking more specifically of tribulation times, okay? But it's not that we can't apply this to the time we live in as well. We're not in the tribulation, but we are in a time that seems as though it's becoming more and more apparent to me that we're approaching the latter days or the last days, if not the final days. We don't know, but we also have to be conscientious that there are false teachers, false prophets, false Christ out there even today. And so Jesus gives a two-word command there. In verse 4, he says, take heed. Take heed. And all of that simply means he's saying pay attention, beware, be on your toes, keep your eyes open, okay? There's no greater way for you and I to protect ourselves from falsehoods, false teachers, false Christ, whatever the case may be, than to know what the Word of God says and to be sure of what the truth is. And when you know what the truth is, you can easily identify falsehood, okay? And so that's the command for us there, is to take heed. Now let's move on to the second birth pain we find in church, verse 6. It says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Here we find, as a second birth pain, really, or indicator, if you will, of the last days, is wars and rumors of wars. We've talked about this many times. It says that nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We have no way of knowing for sure what distinction there is between a nation and a kingdom. All I know is Jesus says kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation. Does it have something to do with the style of government? Who knows? It could be that one represents a democratic government and the other one represents somebody that's under a dictatorship. I don't know. Something to think about. I would lean towards, again, no way of knowing, but I would lean towards thinking that that's probably the case. Perhaps kingdom would be more of somebody that was run by a king, and nation more run by another form of government, such as democracy. But we'll see, I guess. But whatever the case is, they will rise against one another, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That's nothing new. We've seen all through, since time first began, there's always been wars, cold wars, hot wars, and everything in between. But staying with the whole birth pain analogy, we know that what Jesus is meaning here is that it's going to increase. Going to be more and more wars, more and more. They're going to intensify. They're going to come in greater scale, greater frequency as his return approaches. And notice what he says there in verse 6. He says, "These things must come to pass." When we see evidence of those things, when those things begin to start unfolding before our eyes, he's saying, "This has to happen. There's no reason to be alarmed." He says, "Be not troubled. Be ye not troubled. These things must come to pass." He's just saying, "Hey, it's God's plan is unfolding. What I said was going to happen is happening, and that's the way we have to look at it as Christian. As ugly and as destructive and as heartbreaking as those conflicts that he speaks of will likely be, it has to play out. These things have to come to pass. And in today's environment, it's all played out and it's all reported worldwide. I've talked about this many times to you. We see it on a screen. We see it instantaneously. What's happening on the other side of the world can be seen by all and within moments. And we know that. We see it every night if you turn on the evening news, okay? Well, that creates all the more alarm in our world because of but Jesus still says, "Be not troubled." In spite of all this alarming stuff, the word "troubled" simply means be not frightened. He's saying, don't let it scare you. Don't be frightened. These things must come to pass, he says in verse 6. And you've heard me commenting on this more than once, but it's very, very evident that the amount of data that confronts an individual, especially negative data, the amount that a person takes in directly and very deeply affects us emotionally and mentally. I mean, if you're taking in a great amount of negative information regularly, especially if it's accompanied by graphic images, and that's what we get with our television and social media and everything else, well, then the greater our chances of becoming alarmed. Greater our chances of becoming overwhelmed with fear, overwhelmed with anxiety, potentially depressed or whatever. As time passes and our society continues to advanced technologically or in every other way, the bombardment of the mind with bad news is going to continue and it's going to accelerate. I don't have very much good news tonight, do I? But it's the truth. You know, we're at a point here we're in the information age. The Pandora box has been opened. Okay, I don't see, and of course, you know, none of us know, but I don't see anything that could deter the direction we're going with information. In other words, slow it down. I can't imagine what could happen that would make us go back to simpler days. Do you? I mean, praise God if it could happen. I wish it would. But I don't see it happening. There just doesn't seem a way. And so what does it mean? It means that we have to fight harder to be not troubled. We have to make more effort to be not troubled as Christians. And we just have to fight that battle. The command there is these things have to come to pass. It's not going to stop, but be not troubled. And so that means you and I, we got to do all we can to work on increasing our faith, and because the increase of faith is going to offset the troubled heart or being frightened or fearful and these sort of things, and increase our faith and decrease, if possible, as much of the negative intake as we can. Just try to stay away from as much of as it can. And I spoke to you just a few weeks ago on Sunday morning about this particular subject when we had a sermon on fear and anxiety. And I talked to you about what it says here about rumors of wars. And I've talked to y'all about that a couple of times. I that word rumor in the Greek means report or to make known. And I'm not a theologian. I truly am convinced that the meaning of that is Jesus is drawing attention to to describe the nature of the way things will be information-wise in the last days. The reporting, the making known of information will be so accelerated it'll all be worldwide and it'll all be instantaneous. It already is, okay? And so this world's a big place and there's a lot happening. So there's an abundance of things that need to be reported, or not need to be, but that are being reported and will be reported, okay? It's also a fallen world, as you know, that's riddled with sin. So that means the majority of the reports are going to be negative. With all of that being said, there's enough out there being reported to make even the most stable-minded person become troubled if we don't protect our minds, okay? We have our work cut out for us. We have to maintain our sanity by being wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, strengthening our faith as much as possible by being in the Word of God, and again, as this world unravels, trying to not allow that negative stuff to fill our minds, okay? Verse 6 simply says it. Jesus says, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, okay? It's all playing out the way God said it would. Hang on and just trust his plan, okay? And next time we're together, we'll take a look at the famines and the pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places and a lot of other good news, okay? So we'll do that next time we come together. So here we go. All right, let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you guys for being faithful. By the way, when we're on this demo, any of you teachers or helpers that use those three classrooms across from the nursery there, sometime between now and the weekend of the 26th, we will move any furniture out, but if you have stuff that's on the walls that needs to be taken down and put away, if you could, I'd appreciate that. Okay. All right. Good deal. So glad you were here tonight. We will be dismissed. Tommy, will you lead us in prayer, please?